Shivadarayani Ruvacha Evam Kritavya Bhashito Dhadyan Atharvanastanum Hare Bhagavati Bhamani Admanam Sanayam Jaho Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Evam Krita Vyavashito Dadhyanyan Atharvanantanum Hare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanayam Jaho
Prabhus,
Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Evan Krita Vavashito Hare Bhagavati Brahmani Agnam Sanayam Jaho Shri Badarayane Uvacha Evam Krita Vyavashito Sri Badarayana Yuvacha Evam Kritava Vashito Hare Bhagavati Brahmani Badarayani.
Sorry.
Sri Badarayani Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, thus, Krita Vyabhashitaha, making certain of what to do. This is within brackets, in giving his body to the demigods. Dhadyan Dadichi Muni Atharvana, the son of Atharva. Tanum, his body. Pare, to the supreme. Bhagavati, personality of Godhead. Brahmani, the supreme Brahman. Atmanam, himself, the spirit soul, Sanayan, offering, Jaho, gave up. Anyone has the Bhagavatam electronically, because there's a piece of the page ripped, so I will need your help, or if you can give it to me, because there's a someone had stolen the treasure. Yeah. Okay. There's a piece missing here. Thank you. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, want to repeat? Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Dadichi Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, gave up his gross material body, made of five elements. Srila Prabhupada explains, as indicated by the words Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanayan, Dadichi placed himself as a spirit soul at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, one may refer to the incident of Dhritarashtra's leaving his body, as described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.55. Dhritarashtra analytically divided his gross material body into the five different elements of which he was made: earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and distributed them to the different reservoirs of these elements. In other words, he merged these five elements into the original Mahatattva. By identifying his material conception of life, he gradually separated his spirit soul from material connections and placed himself at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example given in this connection is that when an earthen pot is broken, the small portion of the sky within the pot is united with the large sky outside the pot. Mayavadi philosophers misunderstand this description of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sri Ramanuja Swami in his book Vedanta Tattvasara has described that this merging of the soul means that after separating himself from the material body, made of eight elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, mind and intelligence, the individual soul engages himself in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his eternal form, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The material cause of the material elements absorbs the material body, and the spiritual soul assumes its original position. As described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 20.108. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. When one overcomes the material body through cultivation of a spiritual knowledge and devotional service, one can revive his own position and thus engage in the service of the Lord. I'm just going to repeat the last sentence. When one overcomes the material body through cultivation of a spiritual knowledge and devotional service, one can revive his own position and thus engage in the service of the Lord. Om Tat Sat. Avagyanatimirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namah namam vishnu vadaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shrimate ashwamiti namacharya vadayita kipaparana dhurakaparamudaya nagaragramutarine namam vishnu vadaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha sunyavari paschatya deshatarine jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadharo shivasari gauravaktavanya hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Dadichi Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the sixth canto. As you know, there are 12 cantos, and according to the acharyas, the different cantos represent the different parts of the Lord's body. Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, he encourages to read Bhagavatam in a systematic way, right? We often hear this warning from Prabhupada not to jump over, not to go to the 10th canto and try to enjoy, he says specifically the rasa lila, the rasa dance, and then we think that we're in some very, very elevated state, and then we forget about everything else, right? So he painstakingly, he translated, he commented on Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote all these books for our benefit. So, as I said, the different cantos represent different parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The two first cantos represent the lotus feet of Krishna. Canto 3 and 4 represent his legs. Then canto 5 represent his waist. So we are in canto 6. So we are in Krishna's chest today, or this period of time. But we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto. So 6th canto represents his chest, 7 and 8, his arms, 9, his neck, and 10, his lotus face, beautiful lotus face, as Prabhupada explains. And then 11, his forehead, and 12, the crown. All right, so we can have we're climbing like that. I mean, hopefully, in our understanding. That's one description that the acharyas give. Another description that Jiva Goswami gives in regards of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are 10 topics or 10 subject matters that are described, right? Creation, sub-creation, different things, right? But we don't want to, because generally we don't have enough time, but don't want to make it too complicated, want to make it simple. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the early purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the purpose of the appearance of the Acharya is to condense the essence of the scriptures and present it according to the environment. And that's what Prabhupada did. You see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had already, and many other acharyas had already commented Srimad Bhagavatam, right? We have commentaries of the Bhagavad Gita, we have commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we have commentaries of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So one may wonder, I used to wonder when I joined and got to know some of the things, why Prabhupada just didn't reprint some of those books and just present it like that, right? And it took me some time to understand, and hear explanations, etc. And when I found that purport, I forgot exactly where, but it's in the first canto, that that's the purpose of the Acharya. So Prabhupada came to present Krishna consciousness in a way that we can understand. We people from Kali Yuga, covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. So, as I was saying, Jiva Goswami explains that there are ten topics. And one of those topics is called Poshana, or protection. So throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, different things are explained. How the world is created, how there are sub-creations, etc. Like that, many things, and deeper and deeper. But this particular canto refers to the aspect of the Lord in terms of Poshana, or protection. Right, so that's going to be the topic of today's discussion. So generally when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, from what I have learned from seniors, Vaishnavas, is that generally there are three contexts in which we read Bhagavatam. One context is the context of the story that we are reading, right? Like in this canto, generally there mainly there are four pastimes, four, we may say, characters. Who remembers who those are? Question time. Now we are awake. Ajamil. Right? What's the other one? Huh? Britasur, that's the, okay. Daksha. That's another one. Daksha. And then Britrasur. That's right, the one that we are right in the middle of the pastime. And then Chitraketu. Right, because after this, what will come is, how come, you know the story, I heard comments about some of the classes, very nice classes, I heard. No? I haven't been here, so. But Vritrasura, as you know, was a great devotee, right? So how come he was born as a demon? So just to spoil what's coming, I'll tell you why he appeared as a demon, because he was a devotee in his previous life. He was Chitraketu. And the story is described, right, that because he took shelter of the Lord, he was so, I mean, nothing worked for him. Sometimes we think life is going hard for us, but Chitraketu is that example. When we read Bhagavatam, we should be encouraged, because Bhagavatam is a story of a lot of tragedies. We think our life is tragic, but Bhagavatam is a lot of tragic. Narada Muni, an orphan, and so many other, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, he was terminally cursed to die in 7 days. So a lot of tragedies are here. So when we think, oh, my life is so tragic, just open Bhagavatam, you'll get some hope. Because at the end of it, everything works out. Why? Because of the protection of the Lord. That's the beauty of Bhagavatam. You know, it's a, you know, sometimes people come and say, oh, my life is not working well, this and that. Bhagavatam is a great example. You know, Vyasadeva, a great author, writer, this and that. He was depressed. You know, he was not traveling well, as they say, right? Because Narada Muni explains, because you haven't directly glorified the Lord. So Bhagavatam gives us this hint. You know, we may be going through different situations, but in Bhagavatam we find, you see, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, for example, Arjuna was depressed, right? He was crying, he was shivering, he threw his Gandiva bow, right? He says, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do what I have supposed to do. I'm not going to fight Govinda, right? So then Krishna explains the Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, for his upliftment. So, this aspect of poshana, protection, or as Krishna says in the 922 of Bhagavad Gita, yoga shemam bahamyaham, I will protect you. You know, I personally will protect you, the acharyas explain. You know that story of Arjunacharya. Have you heard that? I'm sure many of you have heard that story. Some of the pandits, I'm sure, have heard it many times. But I want to say it anyway. How Arjuna says, that I'm not tired of hearing your glory. So sometimes when we repeat, we should remember that. Right? One time Prabhupada was giving a class, and he was giving, you know, the Hinos mean line, you know, we're not the body. And so one devotee walked out. Right? Prabhupada noticed. And then Prabhupada called the devotee. He says, why did you walk out from Bhagavatam class? Oh, Prabhupada, I get it. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, I get it. I understand it. No, you don't get it. That's the problem. You don't get it. But the point is that sometimes we repeat, and repetition is good also for learning. So anyway, the story of Arjunacharya is that he's a great scholar. And he's commenting on Bhagavad Gita. So we have, what's that verse? 9:22, Ananyas chintayanto mam jayamam parupashyate te sham nityabhijuktanam yogashimam bahamyaham. You know those bhakti shastris? Have to show their erudition here. So in that verse, the last line it says, yoga shimam bahami. You know, those who know Sanskrit, I don't know Sanskrit, but from what the acharyas explain, Burijan Prabhu in his book Surrendered Unto Me, he puts this story there. And then bahami means that the Lord personally provides, right? I don't know in Hindi or Bengali has some connection, but bahami means that the Lord personally does it, right? So when he's commenting, Arjunacharya is commenting on this verse, he is reading the Sanskrit, and then he says, he thinks, no, this is not right. The Lord won't personally come and give me, you know, my money for the rent, or for my boga, or for the rickshaw, for this, that, and the rice, and the, you know, all what you need, right? But let me think, maybe, you know, those of us who write and edit, you know, sometimes we get fixated in getting the right word, right? And then he crossed the word bahami, and then he writes karomi, right? And karomi means, or the definition of the expression is that I will make it happen. You know, like when you manage something, it's not you necessarily go and do that something. You ask somebody, right? You call someone, you hire someone, you request somebody. You don't have to necessarily go and do it. So that's why he wrote karomi instead of bahami, right? So then he thought, oh, I did a good job. And then he goes off after to do his begging. He's a Brahmin, so he goes around like a monk, and then he gets his donation. So what happens is that his wife heard a knock on her door, and there are these two boys, beautiful boys, one whitish complexion, the one darkish complexion, right? And they are bringing all these rice and vegetables and different things. And then, you know, there are poor Brahmins, you know. In those days, Brahmins used to be poor. Now things have changed a little. But you're not meant to be poor. But anyway, that was, so she was surprised. And but she accepted these very kind boys, talking nicely. But then she was refusing. She was like, no, this is not right. Something, this doesn't fit in the script. But they were quite persuasive. So finally they say, look, if you don't take these foodstuffs, your evil husband, he will come and beat us again. Oh, she thinks, no, my husband is kind, he's a nice person, you know, so far I know. I have a double personality, but I never, you know, knew him like that. So then the story goes that the blackish one, right, he turns and then he shows mark like that on his back. right? So then she accepts, and then she gets upset. You know, how can he beat these two nice, kind boys, Brahmin boys? How can he do this? She gets upset and she cooks everything. She offers to the Lord and she takes prasadam. That's a, Vedically, that's a big offense. That's like rebellion right there. That's riot, right? For a Vedic wife to cook, offer and eat before the husband, correct? I don't want to create controversies here, but anyway, that's what the Shastra says. So Arjunacharya comes home, and then he sees wife eating. What is this? You know, he starts wondering what's happening here. So he asks, "Dear, you know, Shri, what are you doing? What's going on?" I don't know in what tone he asks. You know, nowadays you have to be very careful what you say, how you say it. And then she complains, you know, "You have beaten up these boys and you are, you know, complaining about me not doing the right thing. Well, how can you abuse these kids?" Child protection issue. And then he realized, you know, he realized what he, by the descriptions immediately start, you know, he's describing Krishna Balaram. And they, so he understood that by the Lord's mercy, Krishna has appeared to give him a lesson like that. In any case, that's a very important verse when we talk about protection. Prabhupada translate the word Shema, Yoga Shemam Bahami Aham. Prabhupada translate Shemam as the merciful protection of the Lord. So the topic today is protection, right? So we can say many things about the story and how the demigods and the asuras and, you know, you heard it all pretty much. So today we try to make it a little bit more personal. As I was saying, generally there are three contexts in which you read Bhagavatam. One of them is the context of the story, so you know who said what, who was who next life, and who will be who next. No, previous life, next life, you know all the context of that story. Yeah, another way to study Bhagavatam is also in the context of the book. That's why I mentioned that one of the aspects that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam is poshana, or protection of the Lord. So we're trying to see it in that perspective, right? How this story represents the protection of the Lord. So that's another context, right? For example, you know, there are six questions that the sages of Naimisharanya presented in the beginning. We should all know those six questions, right? So now you're awake. I'm going to ask them. But one of those questions is, what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? That's one of the questions that the sages ask. There are several questions, but one of those questions, the one that I'm just going to refer to, and that I hope you remember, at the end of the presentation, is that what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? So, three contexts: the story, the Bhagavatam itself, and also the third and perhaps the most important context in which we need to analyze the Bhagavatam is in our own life. How Bhagavad Gita applies. We may know all the details of all the characters of the Bhagavatam and the different stories. We may know all the philosophical points. We may know all the titles of all the cantos and all the chapters. I have a friend who knows all those titles and all the chapters and all the cantos. Very, very nice to hear. But if we do not apply Bhagavatam in our life, then what is the point? Yeah? I mean, some purification is there. But like a devotee used to say to us when we were very much more neophytes, he said, Bhagavatam class starts when Bhagavatam class finish. Real Bhagavatam class starts when Bhagavatam class finish. Like that. So Bhagavatam class starts at 9 a.m. So when we apply this knowledge, when we are able to take that lesson or those lessons that we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's when Bhagavatam happens. And what does it mean Bhagavatam happens? Srila Prabhupada explains that you see Krishna face to face. Of course, we know, Prabhupada explains, bhakti noi bheda noi. I have no bhakti, no devotion, I have no knowledge. He writes in that poem when he arrived to New York, bhakti noi bheda noi. Name khub dhoro, but I have a strong faith in your name. Bhakti Vedanta nam eva sarthakoro. Make this name of Bhakti Vedanta to have the true meaning. Let bhakti and knowledge be manifested by the strength of your name. Like that. That's Prabhupada's prayer. So, in our case, this is Prabhupada. You know, we may say, yeah, but we're not Prabhupada. That's a general, a common argument that we hear. So, in our case, we have to, and we are writing our own, I'm in camera, so I cannot, say too wild things. But in one sense, our own Bhagavatam is going on, right? Prabhupada wrote his Bhagavatam, we are writing our own Bhagavatam. We have our own translation, our own purport, etc., and our own application. So, one time Bhakti Vikash Maharaj told me, before he was a sannyasi, he said, I never read it, but he said it, so I believe it's somewhere in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's conversations, classes, somewhere, but I never came across that. He said that Prabhupada said that the best plan is the one that works. He said that. I remember. Bangkok. We were trying to open some lock. And I was saying, no, it's this key, And then he was trying that key, and it wasn't working. And then he was just trying a bunch of keys, and he was trying. He says, you're saying that key is the one, but that key is not working. So what is the point? It's like Prabhupada said, the best plan is the plan that works, he said. And then eventually he found the key, open. And I thought, oh, confirm. So we may write our own interpretation of what Krishna consciousness is, but we have to see if it works. We have to see if the result of our application of Bhagavatam it's giving the result that it's meant to give. Simple result, susukam kartum avyayam, right? Chapter 9, text 2. Pandits, have to correct me. Susukam kartum avyayam. That you are happy in Krishna consciousness. Right? That you are performing your service and you are thinking, gee, I'm happy of being a devotee. I'm happy doing this for Krishna. You ask yourself, we ask ourselves, like Satchinanda Maharaj says, this is the, what do you call, litmus test? What's that? Litmus test, right? It's a strip of paper, colored paper, right? And then you put it in particular fluids, right? And then you see the alkalinity and the acidity, and it goes, changes in different colors. So he gives this example. Yes, I don't want to be a shameless thief, so I'm just giving credit to those who deserve it. So I heard it from him. Great example. So we have to do this litmus test in our life. Am I happy being a devotee? Am I happy doing this for Krishna? You know, that's a question. Anyway, going back to the point, what is the topic today? Protection, Poshana, Poshema, 922, Bhagavad Gita. So I was coming this morning to the temple and this big storm was coming. I was thinking, where is my protection? Where is my umbrella? Where is my coat? You know, where is Krishna to stop? I'm going to give Bhagavatam class. Where is my protection? Right. Protection generally is experience when drama takes place. Don't we experience that? So my question to you is, what is your tragedy? What is your drama? When do you feel Krishna's protection? Yeah? Generally we have a time for questions, but I want to take advantage of my time. When do you experience Krishna's protection? When is the time that you experience most vividly Krishna's presence? I can guarantee, I can bet, we don't bet, but I can bet whatever money I have, that you experienced Krishna's protection when you were most in trouble. Right? Can guarantee, yes? Yeah, see? Not a mind reader, not a fortune teller, but I can guarantee that generally that's what happens. Because that's when it aches, right? That's when you cry, God, help me. Yeah? Oh my God. Right? When it aches, when it really, really, you know that you're in trouble. That's when you think, Krishna, you know, I have nobody else. So, the question is, how do we obtain Krishna's protection? That's what we're discussing. That's what these 18,000 verses were spoken. That's why the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita were spoken. Right? And what Queen Kunti says, we hate to hear that verse, don't we? We hate to hear those verses. Bring more and more problems. Do you pray like that? I don't pray like that. You know? I definitely not. You know, she deserves a trophy, diplomas and everything. You know? Someone who prays like that, it's not an ordinary person. So she prays, please give me more trouble. You know? Just compare your prayers and her prayers. Right? Like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, the famous prayer that he composed, let the suffering of the people come to me. You know, I mean, this, you know, this is not an ordinary thing. Why? Because we need to ask, why? You know, I remember a long time back when I was, a couple of years ago, I gave a class, and I was quoting Admatata Prabhu, the old Gurukul teacher, Prabhupada disciple, and he said to me, he said, you have to always ask why, right? You have to ask how, and you have to ask what for. That's basically sambandha, abhideya, and prajoyana. Why you do something? You know, how you do that something, and what are you going to get? That's intelligence. I remember, wow, amazing. So why would somebody take so much suffering from others? Right? Like in the case Prabhupada quotes, Haridas Thakur, he quotes, who else? Prahlad Maharaj. He quotes Jesus Christ. Yeah? Why these great devotees will ask for more trouble? Why Vasudev Datta? He asked Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see. You know? Prahlad Maharaj, he quotes like that. Why? You have to ask that question. Why? You know why? Because those who endeavor to protect, to care for other devotees, non-devotees, whatever, Krishna takes a special care of them. That's why. So these are not fanatics that do things without reason. These are very highly intelligent people. This is the way. If we want the protection of the Lord, then we have to follow in the path of those who attract the protection of the Lord. That's why we pray to Nrisimhadev. Why Nrisimhadev here in Mayapur is so famous? All over the world. Devotees from all over the world, generally those who live in Mayapur, do you have that experience? People ask you, can you do some puja? My son is in trouble. My father is this and that. My this one is that one. Can you do some puja? Yes? All of us, those who are living temporarily or whatever time we're allowed in Mayapur, we have that experience. We go, you know, Nrisimhadev has a special area there. Ranamal is always beautiful and amazingly decorated by pujaris and, you know, everyone in that department. Then Panchatattva manifesting their magnanimity. But when you go to Nrisimhadev, something that I cannot really describe or explain happens. But that is that exactly what we are talking about here, that Shema aspect of the Lord, that He personally comes when He sees His devotees in trouble. So, just trying to make it practical, how do we obtain the mercy of the Lord? Right? Krishna, at the end of the 12th chapter, He describes how a devotee becomes very dear to Him. And then at the end, the last verse, chapter 12, text 20, He says, very, very dear to Him. So, you know the famous line that Prabhupada used to quote, referring to His Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He says, don't try to see Krishna. We know that by heart. Don't try to see Krishna, but try to behave in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Right? Also, Prabhupada used to say that when we chant Hare Krishna, in reality, we're not chanting to Krishna. Who are we chanting to? Radharani. Prabhupada explains. And then when we chant, we implore her mercy. Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, when we chant intently, then Radharani will say, no, Krishna will say, there's a conversation, a few times Prabhupada actually said that. He said, who's this fellow chanting my name? And Radharani will say, oh no, no, he's your sincere devotee who's trying to, you know, serve, he's trying to do something, trying to help your devotees, etc. Prabhupada will. So this process is very simple. So to attract the protection of the Lord is actually not a complicated thing. It's quite simple. But we have to learn those steps. And the first step, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, is to be humble. Right? To understand that we don't deserve the protection of the Lord. That we don't... This is not even our exclusive conception. In many other religious processes, this is emphasized, that we don't deserve, but we are especially blessed by Krishna's mercy, and then He sends help through His devotees. Virabahu Prabhu, the spiritual master in GVC, in our movement, he used to say, he has some maxims. And he used to say, without devotee, there's no God. Like that. Without devotee, there's no God. And he will give a whole class about it. Basically, without the mercy of a devotee, we cannot obtain the mercy of Krishna. So if we want the protection of the Lord, the first step is to be humble with a devotee of the Lord. That's a shortcut. Right? You want Krishna to protect you? Go and seek the protection of a devotee. That's it. Yasya prashad, Bhagavad prashad. Yasya prashad, nagati gutopi. Like that. So, again, the main question is, how do you feel the protection of the Lord? When was the last time, or when was the best time that you felt Krishna's protection? Right? And don't think that was the last time, because more are coming. You know? It's a prediction. More are coming. You know? And as I was saying, the protection of something or someone is generally experienced in a very tragic situation. And as you know, Bhagavad Gita, where was it spoken? Many, many tragic situations here in Bhagavatam. Many wars, demigods killing, asuras fighting back, and people falling down, and people feeling depressed, and people being cursed, and etc. Many situations like that. So, when there is tragedy in our life, just like when Arjuna was faced with this tragic situation of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then that protection of the Lord is felt. Isn't it? You read the last verses of the first chapter, and then you feel empathy. You know, you feel like Arjuna is trembling, this great warrior. And then, you know, after a few chapters, a few verses, you know, how many verses Krishna talks about the soul? Like 30 verses, like a machine gun, right, of knowledge. And then immediately Arjuna feels relief. Sometimes that's all what we need. We may spill out our what do you call, our miseries to someone, and the devotee listens, and then he gives some advice, some direction, and then you feel relief. So don't think, let's not think, that the Lord has to come and he has to show himself or a voice, like in the case of Narada Muni and other great personalities. But we see the protection of the Lord through the agency of the devotees. Okay, so that's very, as you see, now it's, time is over. So we're going to stop here. You know, this is a big, big topic. And I hope you have some answers, some questions for this question-answer presentation of the Bhagavatam, which is how to obtain the protection of the Lord. So any questions, any comments, any corrections? Read the verse if you want to. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Dhadichi Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantarachmi Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Pramanandi.